freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. The only way they can inherit the freedom we have known is if we fight for it, protect it, defend it, and then hand it to them with the well-taught lessons of how they in their lifetime must do the same. And if you and I don't do this, then you and I may well spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it once was like in America when men were free.
Americanism, not globalism, will be our credo as long as we are led by politicians who will not put America first. Then we can be assured that other nations will not treat America with respect, the respect that we deserve.
And GOP Josh is a young conservative influencer with a lot of power.
You're listening to the voice of the future, fighting for America every day. This is the Conservative Crusader. And here's your host, GOP Josh.
Well, hello and welcome. This is the Conservative Crusader here on the Red Future Radio. Not with Red Future Radio anymore. Keep doing that. We are here on the program. Glad to be with you all today. We just wrapped up before I began doing the actual program. We just wrapped up with Trent Staggs. Trent Staggs is running for the U.S. Senate over in Utah. He is running in the seat currently held by Mitt Romney. He's not a Mitt Romney type at all. He actually challenged Mitt Romney, and he is a great candidate over there. I look forward to you all hearing that interview in about 20 minutes. But let's hop into some news first, shall we? George Santos, our guy. My guy, at least. He's the first ever Congress, and first and only. And I'm losing my voice today, if you can't tell by the cracking. I apologize. Part of the illness. George Santos is the only congressman to join this program, so he's the only congressman to take Gen Z seriously, in my opinion, in some ways. And he has apparently does not have the votes needed to not get expelled. CNBC is reporting the House Republicans believe there are enough votes to expel Representative Santos this week. Multiple House Republicans said Wednesday they believe there is now enough support by GOP lawmakers to boot Representative George Santos from Congress later this week. House Speaker Mike Johnson of Louisiana on Wednesday said the vote on that resolution will be held Friday. Johnson said he has reservations about the vote to remove Santos, but he added, "We're going to allow people to vote their conscience. After a GOP conference meeting, Representative Nick LaLota of New York said, quote, "I think there will be 120, 150 Republican votes for the resolution. It will be overwhelming Democratic support, easy to pass the two-thirds majority needed in the 435-seat House." Despacito from New York, another Republican, said that he believes it will be Santos' last week in Congress. He led one of the prior attempts to take George Santos out of Congress. So what a shame. Listen, Congressman Santos went to the floor. He said he will not resign. He did a whole two-minute speech about it on the floor of the House. It was a great speech. I'll actually play it here if we have the file saved and ready to play. It is a great speech. Here we got it. We don't have it queued up audio-wise. Here we go. We got it.
We're now going down a third attempt for a privilege resolution to expel me from the House of Representatives this week. Just introduced one earlier today, and just earlier this evening, we had a second. Here's the case in point. In history, five members of Congress have been expelled. All five had suffered convictions in a court. All five had due process. This expulsion vote simply undermines and underscores the precedent that we've had in this chamber. It starts and puts us in a new direction, a dangerous one that sets a very dangerous precedent for the future. Are we to now assume that one is no longer innocent until proven guilty, and they are in fact guilty until proven innocent? Or are we now to simply assume that because somebody doesn't like you, they get to throw you out of your job? Or better more, does the Constitution bear no consequence? Where a duly elected member of the House of Representatives is elected by the general public, but then a couple of politicians decide that they don't like that person. These are all matters and questions that can be brought up. But I'll leave it at this. The process in which the Ethics Committee engaged was incomplete, irresponsible, and littered with hyperbole, and littered with biased opinions. The chairman of the committee himself admitted that it wasn't the full extent of process, and therefore he couldn't recommend from the committee a punishment or action. Therefore, cheapening the process of the Ethics Committee, cheapening the process that this country has expected from this chamber. Look, it is not a right to be a member of Congress. The media will always remind me of that every time I talk to them. But it is a privilege that you work hard for and you get elected to Congress as a privilege to represent those who have chosen you. Madam Speaker, I think we can all agree that due process matters and that we should all be very concerned about the way that we are conducting this process. I ask that all my colleagues in the House consider and understand what this means for the future. And to set the record straight and put this in the record, I will not be resigning.
And there it is.
I yield back the balance of my time.
He will not be resigning. Now, first thing I noticed from this video, really quickly here, kind of a funny note. Got my boy Vish Burra back there. He's just dead staring right at the chair. What a guy. So I can go into this for a long time. We have a caller on the line that wants to talk about it. Hava, a returning caller. Is going to comment, I believe, on the George Santos resolution. Hava, welcome to the program. How are you tonight?
I'm good, Josh. I'm glad you're feeling better.
Oh, the voice is dying, but I appreciate it.
Well, you'll get there.
All right.
Yeah. So, go ahead. I'm really frustrated, upset about the Santos thing. I don't even know what I haven't dug into all the things that he's quote accused of, but he's definitely not been convicted in a court of law. So that we have first of all. So, you know, why is he essentially being convicted without it actually being proven? That's one thing. Secondly, I also agree with him that I don't know that it's Congress's place to remove someone that the people have actually sent there. So his, you know, New York district sent him there, and I think that their wishes should be honored, and it shows a gross disregard for their wishes just to have Congress then remove them. I do think that people should have the ability to recall their own elected officials, but just to have Congress overrule that, I think that's a problem. And finally, I don't think it's no secret that most of us believe that there is, you know, a whole lot of probably not above board stuff going on with money in DC and in Congress and stuff. And so to have George Santos, who is somebody who has made just a really big effort to connect with the citizens of the state, to have him, it seems like he's been kind of, to us, I guess, just from this perspective, singled out, that feels like a slap to us.
He absolutely has been singled out. And a big part of that is the fact that he has the best voting record in Congress. Any person in MAGA will tell you no one votes as well as George Santos. Not Matt Gaetz. Love Matt Gaetz. Not Matt Gaetz. Not Marjorie Taylor Greene. And you can say what you want to say about old Marge. No one in Congress votes quite like George Santos does. He's the best on the voting issues. And his district sent him there by a very large margin in congressional races in a blue district. And the fact that Congress, as you said, is trying to undermine that is incredible without him being convicted in a court of law. The Ethics Committee is not perfect. They should be focusing on Hunter Biden, on Joe Biden, on the people that are actually supposed to be our political enemies in some ways with Republican power than trying to take out one of the slim 4 or 5 member Republican majority we have. I appreciate your call. Anything else you want to say today?
Well, the only other thing is I tweeted something the other day, and I know this is the Senate, but it was an example of, like, we have really dangerous things going on in our country, you know, where the president is passing stuff that's really dangerous. Congress should be focused on reining that in. And instead, and I understand that was a Senate bill, but there's stuff that's on the table for the House too. And instead they're focused on stuff like that. So
and the House can take up anything the Senate will take up. The House can take up anything the Senate will. I mean, they have the same.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, Congress even has the power of the purse even more. The House does. So.
Yeah. And so instead they're, you know, so it's definitely a slap to us. So
I completely agree. Hava, appreciate you calling in. That is Hava, H-A-V-A-H-L-Y-N-N on Twitter. Encourage you. A great follow. And we'll be right back after this here on the Conservative Crusader.
You're listening to the Conservative Crusader.
Fiverr is the world's largest marketplace for digital services, offers both buyers and sellers a digitally streamlined transactional platform. If you need to buy something, sell something, or whatever you want to do on Fiverr, just go to bit.ly/GOPJoshFiverr today to get your gig or to put your gig on Fiverr and help support the program as well. That is bit.ly/GOPJOSHFiverr, FIVERR.
This is the Conservative Crusader.
Welcome back. This is the Conservative Crusader. If you want to support the program on Patreon, you can do that. I know Giving Tuesday was yesterday, but you can still support the program. Keep us on the air. The voice of young America is GOP Josh, and we'd appreciate your support. That's at patreon.com/GOP Josh, patreon.com/GOP Josh. The program will remain free. So for those watching us on Rumble, our Rumble page is GOP Josh. You've probably seen this photo I have put up. For those listening on audio, which is the vast majority of you, we have a young man, probably 10, 11 years old, wearing a number 87, I believe that's Travis Kelce, Chiefs jersey, with a Native American headdress on with black face paint. And he's turned so you could only see half of his face, perfectly down the half, where it's just a black part of the face. This is a young kid, I remind you. A newspaper or a publication online I've never heard of. It's called Deadspin. That's what they called it. They released an article saying this kid is racist and wearing blackface. His name is Caron Phillips, which is just another way, the man way of calling him Karen. It's C-A-R-R-O-N. It's Karen Phillips. He accused him of both black people and Native American people racism here. So let's read this article from the Daily Mail, and I'm not going to put any of this on the screen because there's so many ads, I don't know what's going to pop up. I apologize for that for those watching on Rumble. A sports reporter who accused a young Chiefs fan of racism against both black people and Native Americans has learned not only was the child not wearing blackface, but he is an Indian. He is a Native American to boot. Deadspin reporter Karen Phillips accused Holden Armoretta of mocking black people after seeing a picture in profile which did not show half of his face painted in the red of his beloved team. Phillips also slammed the whole Native American headdress and his tomahawk chop that he was doing, claiming the little boy had found a way to hate black people and Native Americans at the same time. This evening it emerged that the youngster has Native American heritage himself, with a grandfather serving on the Santa Ynez Band of Shumna Indians, and that the team multi-ethnic squad had enthusiastically joined in with Holden's Indian chopping gesture. "Just stop it already," the boy's mom wrote on Facebook. "He is Native American." And here's another picture I'm going to put on the screen for you watching on Rumble that shows the kid's actual face, shows what he's wearing actually, which is no different than you find at any other sporting event. There's the guy that goes around at all the Buckeyes games here in Columbus that has a big silver painted face. How is that not racist against white people? Because he's closer to white and he's an African-American gentleman. But there he is, in his glory, with his headdress on, he's smiling, he's having a good time at the game. Who wouldn't love to go see a front row Chiefs game with Travis Kelce, Mr. Pfizer? And the guy this is an old man picking on a young child. This kid didn't start anything. He picked out one picture of the guy. He said, this is what the guy wrote in the blog, right, which is now taken down. "This is what happens when you ban books, stand against critical race theory, and try to erase centuries of hate," he wrote in the blog on the sports website. You give future generations the ammunition they need to evolve and create racism better than before. He's a better racist than generations before. A real Kansas City Chiefs fan page on Facebook said, quote, "Everyone is making a massive deal out of this and only trying to show one side of his face to push their narrative. Deadline found itself corrected by content creators on social media, X, when he tweeted out the story. The kid is not wearing blackface. It is perfect." Here's the a community note. "The Deadspin article is perfect, purposely deceiving, as several fans in attendance noted. The other half of his face is painted red." Red. There's a picture of him. there's a picture of him surrounded by the Kansas City, or not the Kansas, the Las Vegas Raiders. He's a Chiefs fan. There's a picture of him surrounded by the cheerleaders of the other team. In his facial garb, the cheerleaders are multi-ethnic, not just white cheerleaders in this squad. And so this little kid isn't doing racism. He's having a good time. He's having a fun time at a football game. But I'd love to see here, and this is kind of something I stole from a tweet. I don't have the tweet anymore. I would love to see a podcast, right? And I welcome all these gentlemen on this show. Kyle Rittenhouse, who had his life destroyed by the left for killing two pedophiles. He shot two people at a crowd in BLM. Both of them were pedophiles. What are the odds? Nick Sandman, who is obviously the one that was standing and just staring at a guy that was protesting people wearing Trump hats at the Supreme Court. And the young man, I believe his name is Lincoln, that had the "Don't Tread on Me" on his backpack, the patch. And then this young man on a podcast together talking about how the left hates them all. That would be so fun to see. Welcome to this program anytime. But the mother posted a video on Facebook. We can play the audio here. Can't actually play the video because you can't see the video.
That would be so fun to see.
Why am I able to listen here myself? Oh, I left the tab open. All right, we'll play the audio here in just a second. Here we go. Now we should be able to play the audio. He's just doing a tomahawk chop with his, and there's the players on the sideline, number 64, number 79. Shocked in today's day and age, that's not called unsportsmanlike conduct on the players. But I digress. This little kid, they try to ruin his life over a headdress. Are you kidding me? Over a decorate, probably his family's headdress. I mean, he has family that is Native American. Not sure how that can be racist. But if this little boy was white and someone next to him was wearing the Los Angeles Raiders, their mascot is black and white. If he was wearing an African-American gentleman, per se, wearing half of his face and then half of it white, nothing racist about that because you can't be racist against white people, whatever you want to say. So one more story here before we hop to our interview with Trent Staggs of Utah. A top aide to Republican presidential candidate Vivek Ramaswamy is joining the former president Donald Trump's campaign. Three sources familiar with the move tell CNN. Brian Swenson formally resigned from his role as national political director for the Ramaswamy campaign over the weekend and has joined the Trump campaign, a source familiar with the matter told CNN. Swenson is expected to be working on the campaign's political operation in the early voting states, specifically in Nevada, the two Trump campaign sources told CNN. So now what we have here. And Ramaswamy is a great candidate. I like him a lot. But his campaign is being ran by two people right now. We have Kathy Barnett, who lost her Senate race in Pennsylvania to Dr. Oz, who didn't even live in Pennsylvania. And we have Trisha McLaughlin, who is the communications director. And due to having somewhat of a positive relationship with Trisha, I'm not going to comment on her. She worked for Governor DeWine here in Ohio. She's an Ohio person. I got to stay with my Ohio people. But needless to say, his campaign is down the drain. It's pretty much three people now. If you want to take into account the race of second place, it's three people. It's Chris Christie, who is polling low, but he's not focusing on Iowa. He's focusing on New Hampshire because he's that close to that area geometrically. Smart move. It is going to be Ron DeSantis and it's going to be Nikki Haley. Nikki Haley received the Koch brothers endorsement with the Americans for Prosperity. They endorsed her, their action committee, and are going to knock doors in Iowa, New Hampshire, all four of them going to knock doors there for them. And then we have the, then we have the Ron DeSantis people. Listen, I don't see anyone else winning this race. They're all vying for vice president. I don't care what Vivek says. I don't care what any of them say, per se. They're all vying for vice president. None of them deserve vice president. And I'm not really ashamed to say that. I think the vice president should be either Kristi Noem or Byron Donalds. But the Koch brothers, also here in Ohio, to relate it back to Ohio, where we're broadcasting this from, endorsed Craig Riedel up in, or Riedel, whichever how you pronounce it, in Ohio 9, who is a big-time Rhino. Kevin McCarthy endorsed Rhino up against J.R. Majewski, a great Patriot running in that race. So that's where I stand on the Koch brothers and their endorsements. I could care less about them. So when we return, we're going to join with Trent Staggs. He is his website is TrentStaggs.com. He joined us to talk about his campaign for Senate. He is the mayor of Riverton, Utah. He is a great patriot. He's actually reaching out to Gen Z. I'm excited to ask him about that. When we return here on the program, it is Trent Staggs. Back after this, this is the Conservative Crusader, the voice of the future.
You're listening to the Conservative Crusader. This is the Conservative Crusader.
Well, welcome back. Joining us now is quite the accomplished man. He is the mayor of Riverton, Utah. He is also a candidate for U.S. Senate, originally challenging Rhino Mitt Romney, now running in an open field. His name is Mayor Trent Staggs. Is joining us, TrentStaggs.com. Mayor Staggs, welcome to the program today. How are you?
Hey, Josh, great to be with you. Doing excellent. Thank you.
Well, I'm very glad to have you on. I have a lot of questions regarding your campaign. I was glad to see you were challenging Mitt Romney. I'm glad to see you're still in the fight after he dropped out. So before we get into your campaign, what are the top three issues facing Utah at this point?
Oh, wow. I've done about 50 town halls now as I've traveled the state, and I'm hearing the same thing. I mean, Bidenomics is just crushing families across the country, and this state is no different. I would say that it's the inflation that's been caused by the just exorbitant spending of Congress and by this administration in particular that's been advocating it. So it's spending and debt, which has caused the inflation, which is crushing families. A good $800 to $900 a month more on average is what it's costing now Utah families just to keep up with it all. That's, I'd say, number one. Number two is just regulation. We have such an expansive regulatory state in this country that it's about a $4 trillion drag on our economy. And it costs the average employer about $20,000 per employee just to come into compliance with all the regulation, the garbage. I mean, employees would much rather have that $20,000 in their pockets. And then lastly, a little thing that's somewhat unique to Utah is public lands. I mean, 2/3 of our state is owned or controlled by the federal government. And when this administration has been just advancing horrible, horrible energy policy, you know, it really impacts our economies and it really impacts the entirety of the nation when our energy policy is just in such a horrible shape. We need to be able to allow permitting exploration and production on public lands. And then maybe a fourth thing I'd add is immigration. Every state, you know, you've heard that every state's now a border state. It is true. This open border situation has just caused all kinds of issues in our state and even in my community where I'm mayor. I see it. We've got foreign national criminal crime rings, and it's wreaking havoc across the country and even our state.
So I agree with you on everything you mentioned before. What would you say if you had to pick out one issue threatening the entire country, what would it be?
Progressivism. It's the wokeism, if you will. It's we need to have, and I say this at my website, we have to have a separation between woke and state. It's been wholeheartedly endorsed by this Biden administration. They're advocating it. They're trying to work it across the education, across our military, in pretty much every sector, every department. And that is really a situation today that is just meant to divide and conquer and cause the tribalism that we've got in our country, instead of being all Americans, Americans first and foremost. I think that is the most insidious ideology and the issue that we have today. That's a huge, huge issue. The debt is definitely a huge issue as well.
And you're talking about progressivism. You were running against the guy that marched with BLM. So you're definitely the better choice out of the two. Obviously, Mitt Romney's not running again. It's Mayor Trent Staggs on the phone, TrentStaggs.com. So you are the mayor of Riverton, Utah, as I mentioned. I hope I'm pronouncing the name of the town right, which has a population of about 45,000 people. I don't know the exact population of Utah. It's a lot more than that. But how will your service as mayor help you represent your state in the U.S. Senate?
Oh, boy, I think there's a lot of crossover. So it's about 50,000 residents. Our state has 3.2 million people. So, yeah, just to put into context, we've had about 6 to 7 million, you know, illegals cross the border just in the 3 years of the Biden administration. That's over twice the population of my state.
Wow.
It's just hugely impactful. But in those 10 years serving my community, you know, I'm in the southern part of Salt Lake County, the most populous county in the state of 1.2 million. And in one of the fastest growing parts. And so I'm pretty well networked. I've received the endorsement of over 100 elected officials in the state of Utah. And then nationally, you know, we've also received some really key endorsements from Mark Levin and Charlie Kirk and Carrie Lake, Rick Grinnell, Cash Patel. My work with law enforcement, you mentioned that Mitt Romney marched with BLM. You know, my very first endorsement in this race came from the State Fraternal Order of Police, and they represent 5,000 law enforcement officers, great officers in the state, about 70% of all law enforcement. But I think what I've been able to do at the local level is, you know, with my background, from elementary school to graduate school, I've attended Utah schools, I've run businesses, I took a company public last year in the energy space on NASDAQ. And so I've been able to take a very entrepreneurial approach to municipal government, and I've actually cut spending. I've cut taxes in our community, which is very, very rare. So I've taken that approach, always innovating, and that's what we need now more than ever. I mean, hey, the status quo is not working. That's what's got us $34 trillion in debt. That's what's created this managerial, ruling class that thinks they know better than everybody else. And we've got this regulatory state that's just run amok. So we need somebody who has demonstrated the ability to push back on the establishment, which I've done. I've cut taxes. I was one of the only mayors in our state that said no to mask mandates and vaccine mandates.
That's a great key point for me.
It's just unbelievable what we were witnessing during 2020. And I was one of the few lone voices that stood up and said, nope, not in my community. We're not going to be enforcing that here. People are free. We're going to err on the side of freedom in my city. And so, you know, doing that, standing up against ESG, we passed resolutions there. Back in 2019, supporting human life and encouraging our federal delegation to overturn Roe v. Wade. Fortunately, that's been done because of a great nomination, the great Supreme Court nominations by President Trump. But I've got this record of standing up. I stood up to inappropriate materials in school with our school board that is headquartered in my city. And so people have recognized that. And I was the only one, as you mentioned, I was the only one to take on Mitt Romney. I announced my candidacy in May and said, enough is enough. I wrote an op-ed in Real Clear Politics that said, hey, I've had enough of this guy. He came out 5 years ago. He committed he was going to put us on a path to a balanced budget. He would end illegal immigration. He'd stop federal spending and overreach and confirm conservative justices to the court. That's not been his record. That has been my record in terms of standing up to the establishment, advancing constitutional conservative principles. And I think that's where my 10 years in elected office, hearkening back to that, you can see what I will do, what I'll take to D.C.
And I really like first-time candidates, but especially when someone has the record you have that you're not, but out by the establishment. I really appreciate people with experience as well. It's Mayor Trent Staggs, and I want to get into the weeds a little bit about specific questions I have. When I interview someone running for Senate, my number one question is, How are you going to vote on leadership? Do you think we should have Mitch McConnell again? Who do you think should be the next generation of leadership in the Senate? What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely not voting for Mitch McConnell. I saw Senator Lee, our senator here in the state of Utah, comment on that quite frequently. And I have supported that. I mean, this gets back to what I had said. The problem we have today, and unfortunately, your generation, I believe, Josh, is bearing the brunt of this more so than any other. We have just been dealing with the status quo, with this ruling elite that thinks they know better than everybody else. We've been run by a ship of fools for far too long that's put us into the debt that we have and has created the burden on the backs of so many Americans, of all Americans, that it's time for change. We can't keep doing the same things over and over again. That includes leadership. We need new leadership. There's some great conservative voices in the Senate. I mentioned Mike Lee. I've talked with many of them. I would welcome the opportunity, and I think I will be joining them if we can keep on this track, to have people like Mike Lee, like Rick Scott and Ron Johnson. I think some of the newcomers last year that were elected, like J.D. Vance and also Eric Schmidt out of Missouri. These are fantastic, conservatives. And getting in there and adding one more true conservative to this mix, I think creates what I've been calling just a critical mass. We finally hit that critical mass, that number that says, all right, we've got the ability to finally effectuate change across this country, across the Senate, new leadership, and we'll get rid of the establishment.
Yes, sir. I forget Mike Lee is from Utah sometimes, the @based Mike Lee on Twitter, as I would like to say. He endorsed Bernie Moreno in my home state, so I'm happy with Mike Lee at this point. Having another Mike Lee in the Senate from Utah would be great. Another specific question. Obviously, Mitt Romney's niece is the chairman of the RNC. What are your thoughts on the RNC state? And then I have another question really quick, and I know we're running up on time, so just want to get that in real quick.
Vivek Ramaswamy, I think, summarized it pretty well last debate with respect to Ron McDaniel. It's disappointing to see what had happened at this last election, just a few weeks ago. And we need Republicans. We need somebody who is going to really articulate the vision for the party, our true platform and principles, and be able to advance America First principles. And we don't have that right now.
I completely agree with you. So really quickly here, Gen Z is obviously my top issue. I am a 17-year-old, so I'm not quite of voting age. I will in 2024. Do you have a youth outreach portion of your campaign to get into the schools, get involved with young people, to get them interested in your campaign and in politics in general? And when you're elected to the Senate, or if you're elected, I should say if, but hopefully when, how would you work on behalf of Gen Z?
Well, yes, the first part of that question, we do. We've got, I've been endorsed by Charlie Kirk. We have several of our volunteers and interns working for the campaign right now that are part of Turning Point chapters at various universities in our state. And also, I've got folks that are even of your age right now. I've got one in northern Utah, a young man by the name of Chase, that is one of the most I think his political prowess is perhaps the highest I've ever seen amongst a person of any age. So he has been very instrumental in helping lead out and ensure that we've got younger supporters and those that are really helping the campaign. And he's done an excellent job on that sort of outreach we have across the state. I think getting into the Senate, it's absolutely critical that we work for everybody, but definitely the Gen Z, because as I said earlier, I truly believe that your generation more than any other right now is going to be the most impacted by the decisions that have been made. I mean, we have this debt. It is, I have said on many town halls, it is the height of immorality to have placed this level of debt on my children. I've got a 14-year-old son, an 11-year-old daughter. And on successive generations, it's immoral. And it's been done. They've also had so much with respect to special interest and carving out allowances for you know, the cabal of some big business and big government. It's unbelievable. We've got to get back to a sense of the true American dream and the ability for everybody to rise up on their own merits. This idea of meritocracy and American exceptionalism, and that's what we can do for Gen Z in particular, to give them that level of optimism that we can tackle this. We have some pretty strong challenges, but we can get this done, and it's going to be most impactful to your generation.
I'm incredibly happy to hear that you're actually doing youth outreach, because a lot of candidates don't think it's important. They think, oh, Gen Z is a lost cause, they're liberal, but really it's not looking that way if you look at the polls and the studies coming out of school. It's actually a lot of young people are conservative, so I appreciate that sort of outreach. It's Trent Staggs, TrentStaggs.com. Where can people find you on social media, support your campaign? I have a national audience of some sort, so if they want to donate to your campaign, come to Utah, make phone calls on behalf, where can they find that information?
Yeah, TrentStaggs.com for volunteering, at Mayor Staggs across social media, at Mayor Staggs, STAGGS, and we'd absolutely welcome that. You know, I've been so humbled because I got out when I did. I was the only one to challenge Mitt Romney to take on the establishment. We were the Romney challenger. I believe that we scared him out of the race. And because of that, I have received the national endorsements that we have. And we've actually picked up small dollar donations from every single state, from conservatives across every state. And I'm humbled by that.
That is great. Yes, sir. Thank you very much for joining us. It's TrentStaggs.com, at Mayor Staggs on social media, on X, of course. He's over there. He's actually about to pass me in followers. I'm not really happy about that. Mayor Staggs, thank you for joining us on the program today. Hope you have a great rest of your day.
You too. Have a great one.
You too. If you ever want to check back in on us, you can. And this is the Conservative Crusader right back after this here on GOPJosh.com.
You're listening to the Conservative Crusader.
Hey everyone, it's GOP Josh. We can only keep the Conservative Crusader podcast or program that you're listening to right now on the air with your support. We have recently launched a Patreon program where you can support us here at Red Future Radio for as little as $3 a month. You can find that at patreon.com/GOPJosh. You can also support the program at anchor.fm/theconservativecrusader for as much or as little as you'd like to give. This program will remain free and financial support is not required or expected. But anything to keep us on the air helps. Thank you, folks. And now, back to the Conservative Crusader. Welcome back. This is the Conservative Crusader at GOPJosh.com. Great, great, great. College football playoffs rankings were released last night. Ohio State is sixth, which I have a severe, major problem with because Ohio could beat anyone in the top five, including Michigan if we had a better quarterback. But we could beat any of the other in the top five very easily. I think Michigan should be number one. Ohio State number two, Georgia three, Washington four would be my top four. But that's besides the point because I'm not on the college football playoff rankings. And if you hear my voice dying, I am very sorry. And if you're probably telling me to rest my voice and not do a program, you will be happy to hear. This Friday, we will not have a regularly scheduled program because I'll be on the road going to the Ohio Republican Party State Central Committee meeting. Doing live coverage there as always. It's something I did for Red Future Radio. I look forward to doing here at GOP Josh Media or whatever we're going to call this venture we're doing now because it's so important for people to know what's going on in the Ohio Republican Party meetings. They don't live stream them. They don't cover them. And they don't offer press passes for those who are actually interested in covering the event because I have not received anything press-wise. So we're gonna show up with a camera, with my computer, hope they let me stream it. If they shut it down, we'll have it on video. But they did last time, no press passes, we were fine. I actually requested them this time because I went last time, and I always put the guests are in the very back of the room. It goes, the chairman and his committee. There are the actual state senator committee members. Then there's the press on this little side table. And then there's the audience. So I was behind the press. I could see everything they were doing on their computers and everything else. I wasn't spying over. But when the giant, what's the game called? It's the game where they advertise in other games. It's like, we don't have ads in this game. It's like the King's game or whatever. With like the wood blocks or the King's falling down. That's being played by one of the journalists sitting there. Supposed to be covering the event. Meanwhile, I'm here. The Warners allowed me to put my camera on their desk. So it's a very far left angle of the room. Holding my laptop and a chair next to me because it wasn't a very crowded event. I had it on the chair next to me trying to monitor the live stream. And they had the desk where they were sitting there playing games. I thought that was disrespectful. And so I tried to receive press passes this time. Doesn't look like it's going to happen, but we'll see. A couple days left, but there will probably not be a regularly scheduled program on Friday. Probably for the better because of this voice. So our Ohio story for the day. A Ohio attorney was suspended after pooping in a Pringles can and throwing it from his car. Pooping in a Pringles can. Criminal defense attorney Jack Blaisky presumably plans to change the subject next time someone asks him how work is going. The Ohio Supreme Court suspended Blaisky on Tuesday for some decidedly unprofessional behavior. Pooping in a Pringles can and flinging it into the parking lot of a crime victim advocacy center in Cambridge, Ohio in 2021. The court suspended Blaisky for 1 year with 6 months stayed for the gross act and said his conduct adversely reflects on his fitness to practice law. The court noticed there was clear and convincing evidence that Blaisky targeted the Haven of Hope Center, which employed people whom he admitted he'd known for years, and whom he probably was going to see in court in just minutes after tossing the Pringles can. Tossing the Pringles can into the center's parking lot. Surveillance video shows Blaisky driving by the parking lot, slowing down, turning around, and passing it a second time. He then tosses the poopy can out of his car and drives to the courthouse. A witness saw Blaisky throw the can and discovered its content. She filed a report with Cambridge police. Blaisky eventually pled guilty to misdemeanor charges, and the article just refreshed. Don't know what I was going to say after that. But he has pled guilty to a misdemeanor. He paid $248. So for the slight cost of $248 and never practicing law again, you can go throw a can of poop into a parking lot of a center. All right. He said that he denied that he intentionally chose the center as the target. Rather, he claimed he simply had a habit of putting his feces in the containers and randomly tossing them from his vehicle as a prank. Get this. He estimated that he did this at least 10 times a year, according to the Cincinnati Inquirer. Blaisky said the prank was a way to blow off steam and that he enjoyed imagining the look of surprise on people's faces when they discovered his creations. Blaisky didn't claim to have any sort of mental illness and denied that his hobby was related to a diagnosis of PTSD he received after serving in Vietnam, but he said there has to be something going on that's related to some of the things I went through early in life. The Ohio Supreme Court noted that the evidence of this case shows that despite societal standards like cleanliness and decorum, Blaisky failed to control his own bizarre impulses to place feces-filled cans out in public. This is hard to read for unsuspecting people to find. The court said Blaisky's apparent misconduct has adversely reflected his own fitness to practice law and brought discredit to the profession through significant media attention. That's from the Huffington Post. So this reminds me, I used to be a Bo Burnham fan, and he made a whole song about not being able to fit his hand inside of a Pringle can? This isn't it.
I can't fit my hand inside a Pringle can. I have a huge amount of trouble fitting my hand inside of a Pringle can. I can get my hand like 4 inches into the can, but then I have to tilt the can into my mouth. But by that point, a bunch of crumbs have accumulated at the bottom of the can, so they all go spill it onto my face.
So my question is, How is he doing this? Like, I'm actually genuinely interested. Is he actually taking the can into the restroom with him and, like, swooping it out of the reciprocator, the toilet? Is he going directly into the can? Is he picking it up and putting it? I mean, how is this happening? And how did this guy think of doing this? Who takes a Pringles can? I'm not a big Pringles guy. They're all right. But who takes a Pringles can? Thinks, you know what I'm going to do with this today? I'm going to take it, put my feces in it, and throw it in a parking lot. Genius idea. What a way to... I have nothing else to talk about. This is the seriousness of the show. We just had Trent Staggs on the program, and now we're talking about feces in a Pringles can. This is truly the variety program. Anyways, let me know what you think about this whole situation. If you want to call in, leave a voicemail for the next episode of the program coming Monday. You can do that. The phone number is 574-675-6747, 57GOPJosh7. If you put your feces inside of a Pringle can, I'd love to talk to you. Josh@GOPJosh.com. Support us the program on patreon.com/GOPJosh. Use our link on Fiverr, bit.ly/GOPJosh, FIVERR, bit.ly/GOPJosh, Fiverr. Pretty much everything is available on Fiverr. I'd guess the only thing they don't sell, if I had to guess, is probably feces inside of a Pringle can. Back Monday. Have a great weekend. Enjoy my coverage of the Ohio Republican Party meeting. Stay safe, stay healthy, and stay tuned.
You're listening to the Conservative Crusader.